The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
In the studio, we have Mark Larson, a director at CASK, C-E-S-K, and Dave Cheeseborough, president, A-F-E-I. Dave, there's tools that exist today that I couldn't dream of 5 years ago, now it's 20 years ago. So the tools that are available today actually can give managers in the federal government maybe a better baseline on how to make decisions.
Well, that's absolutely true, John. And it's not just the tools available. It's the technology that are available to help government do its job better with the citizens. So delivering value to citizens is extremely important. That's why now we have U.S. Digital Services and AT&F and GSA trying to deliver through the web and the internet the government services that citizens essentially need and demand.
You can read Federal Computer Week. You can read articles on Federal News Radio, Federal Times about FITARA. You can listen to podcasts and radio shows like this. But I like my face-to-face thing. Dave, what do we have for face-to-face learning about this FITARA stuff?
Right, John. So we've been hosting, CASK has been a premier sponsor of a series of events that we've called the FITARA Implementation Symposiums, or Symposia, I suppose is the correct English.
Oh, my wife would love that.
And so we've done two now. We had Jerry Connolly give the opening remarks and Tony Scott give the keynote at the first one. The last one, we had Richard McKinney, the CIO at DOT, come and talk about what he was doing. Had some excellent presentations from DHS. Kirsten Dalbo talked about the DHS Management Cube and its role in FITARA implementation. EPA provided a panel discussion led by Elena Larson, and Joyce Hunter from USDA and Flip Anderson talked about what their implementation planning was going to be. And all of this served to give the audience a better understanding of what are some of the real on-the-ground challenges that these folks are facing and how are they dealing with them and what some of the emerging best practices are in terms of FITARA implementation.
You know, if I want to learn about how to repair a car, I want a bunch of auto mechanics up on stage talking about it. If I want to learn how to implement FITARA, I want those people who've been out there, got their nose bloodied, maybe had to have Mark help them try to figure this report out and actually go face-to-face. The event's coming up on December 9th, is that what it
December
is?
December 9th is the third event in the series. Daryl Issa, the co-sponsor of the legislation with Jerry Connolly, is coming, give opening remarks. We've invited Tony Scott to reprise his first keynote and come and give us an update since the first set of scorecards came out last week. I think he'll have some interesting commentary on the baselining for this cultural evolution that's going on in the federal government.
So CASK is one of the sponsors for this event, and if you want more information, you can go to afei.org and hit on events and register there. What's the cost?
The cost is very nominal. I think it's a couple hundred bucks. It's a half-day session.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get in for a nominal amount. If you're government, you get in for free.
Let's take a break, talk more about this event, and talk about report cards. Not yours, Mark, but the report cards for my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mark Larson, director of CASK, and David Cheeseborough, president, AFEI. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mark Larson, director at CASK, C-A-S-K. For more information, you can go to CASKLLC.com and Dave Cheeseborough, President AFEI, and you can go to afei.org, not.com.org, or more information, maybe find out about events. You know, when I was in grade school, I was always very, very careful about bringing home my report card because my parents had to sign it, and I'd have to go back to school in humiliation the next day. I wasn't exactly the best student on the planet. The nuns used to put in my report, John works hard for his C's. So that was my mark, working hard for my C's. Big report card last week, Mark. Want to talk about some report cards?
Yeah, no, first report cards came out, and I think they were spot on. There were a lot of, you know, F's, D's, and C's, but if they were all A's and B's, we wouldn't need the report card system to begin with. So a great first baseline and really sets forth the government and understanding where do they need to go in the future.
Yeah. In many schools now, there are helicopter parents, and when little Davey just gets a B+, the parents will come into the school and pound and scream on the table and want that little Davey's grade to be an A, just like, you know, this is a strange world we live in with parents now. But some people have different opinions of grades. Now, if you look what Connolly has to say, he looked at the report card and said, you know, these are not meant to be juridical or prescriptive exercises. It's just supposed to be an indicator, maybe like a gas gauge or something. And Tony Scott said, this is more of a baseline where we're at. So, Dave, you think this is a fair baseline?
Well, I think it is a fair baseline. And I think almost the term report cards is the wrong term to use for this, because we're setting a baseline from which we're going to grow the role of the CIO. We're going to increase efficiency in IT acquisition and government. So it's a process. And, you know, when you get a report card, it's sort of you've been measured against something you've been taught. Here we're beginning to create a cultural evolution inside government. And so report card, perhaps not the best term, but I think it's a fair assessment of where we're starting from. And it gives us some good indicators as to where we need to grow to.
So, Mark, there are 14 A's out of 120 total grades. What's interesting is that they're trying to depict this visually. You know, it's my report cards were handwritten. Now they have a little red and green and blue graph here, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you want to visually reward those that do well. And, you know, red is F's are reds, right? So nobody wants to be red.
I'm sure some authors want to be read. I was thinking about Stephen King last week. I heard him on the radio. He wants to be read all the time. Jason Miller, the world-famous Jason Miller, writes for federalnewsradio.com, does interviews, and he is always great to read. He's really bright, and he says that this report card is a floor to climb from. Isn't that an interesting way to phrase this? A lot of different views of Florida, room for improvement. You know, that's the bad news. You know, I was once in a triathlon, and a friend of mine said, well, you're pretty good, John, but you got a lot of room for improvement. He was sitting home drinking beers without beating my head against the wall. Well, and that's I think there's some people that say, well, you know, how much more do you want? I mean, a lot of these people, their hands are tied, and they're going, well, how much more do you want out of me? I don't have people. I don't have budget. How can I earn my A? Is this a fair response?
Well, I think it is a fair response, John. You know, we've got to give these people the resources and freedom necessary to make the changes that FITARA requires. But I think that will come. You mentioned helicopter parents. I wonder if perhaps we're going to see a phenomena of helicopter agency heads getting engaged and saying, hey, I want my agency to get greens instead of reds.
So, Mark, 250 CIOs identified all across the federal government. They're trying to reduce this and hold them, here's the word, accountable. You know, good idea, bad idea, reduction in CIOs?
I think it's a good idea. When you think about it as an executive leader, you know, you need to have accountability, and the more CIOs you have, the less consolidated accountability you have. And so really need to focus on how do we define maybe what are those second-tier leadership roles and the, you know, really the correct reporting authority, holding a fewer number of people more responsible and accountable.
When I was in grade school, I worked at a store at the corner of my street, and we do an inventory once a year just to figure what was on the shelves, you know. So that's what they have now, Dave. They're trying to find an inventory of what they had. Now, 20 years ago, I mean, they had a hard time. Now we have tools that allow us to at least to figure out how many servers we are so we can grade ourselves whether or not they're reducing the number of data centers. These tools, I think, are more and more important, aren't they?
Well, they are more and more important, but we have a long way to go in that regard. You know, we're still discovering shadow IT that exists. And it's not nefarious. It's programs that have gone out and done what they needed to do to deliver and be successful. But now all that has to come together in a common baseline, and we need to know about it. That's where this whole transparency comes from. You know, we have Craig Bennett coming from the Coast Guard to lead a panel discussion on December 9th about the efforts that they're making in this regard. And he tells stories about program managers who spent $20 million on IT capabilities that they already had someplace else. It wasn't that they did anything wrong. It was that they simply didn't know.
Maybe it's the curse of just being a large organization, not knowing exactly what's going on. And perhaps if it reduces the number of CIOs, it'll form a funnel maybe so they'll have a better perspective, at least in an idea world, huh?
Yeah, no, it really is this concept of transparency and everyone having visibility into what's going on. What are we call them business capabilities, but they're really the constituent capabilities that these agencies are providing. And how do they deduplicate investment and spending and really create awareness both within their organizations and across the entire federal government?
I'd like to hear what the Coast Guard guy says about that. I mean, there's going to be a question and answer session. Raise your hand and go, well, geez, how did you do it at the Coast Guard? Or how would someone in my agency, I'm over here in Interior, how would I know that Mark's not over in the next building working on something?
Yeah, and we've had questions like that in other sessions as well. You know, that people want to know, how can we best do this? They don't want to get in trouble and they don't want to be at risk, but at the same time, you know, they want to do the best things for their enterprises. And that's kind of where we're heading, is an enterprise level concept. And so accountability, being able to fund things horizontally as opposed to in vertical stovepipes, and being able to measure success from an enterprise perspective rather than from a vertical line of business.
Nobody got all A's, lots of D's and F's there. If you wanted to summarize or boil down the report cards, I guess you'd say that this whole concept of data center consolidation didn't look really strong here, did it, Mark?
No, data center consolidation is hard. It's easy to move things from one space to another, but to really do it right and to bring the value that data center consolidation is supposed to bring takes time, it takes planning, and there are a lot of lessons learned. The goal is that we can accelerate consolidation as we do it more and more and continue to increase this value. Really, now that people know everyone's watching, you know, we expect to see this go faster and faster.
In grade school, I probably had 7 courses I was evaluated on, 7 topics here for this report card, isn't it? Just 4. I think 4 are being reviewed here. CIO enhancements, IT portfolio, data center consolidation, and project risk assessments. The CIO about incremental development, I think that'd be hard to capture, wouldn't it? I mean, how can you come up with grading incremental development? Have you read how they do this?
Well, grading incremental development, I think, is a little bit complicated. But, you know, you look at how organizations, agencies are using agile methods and in their software development techniques, how they integrate those with the waterfall project management oversight. And you begin to see some trends that are clear indicators. Like with the USCIS over in DHS, being successful at innovation, at agility, and at incremental development. And it begins then to be clear how to measure those things.
You've been on the ground here. Tell us about PortfolioStat. Good tool, bad tool, helpful?
A great tool. Portfolio management is really what you have to be doing at the CIO level or above to manage these really incredible portfolios. In a lot of cases, bigger than anything that exists in the commercial space. And so really, it is about providing high-level visibility, being able to make prioritization of different investments and understand from a 10,000-foot view what's working and what's not.
So those report cards are not to punish or stigmatize. What they're trying to do is just encourage better behavior, better practices for many folks. Let's take a break, come back. Talk more about some of these practices and the measurements and what's the next step, how people can learn more and maybe try to improve their grades maybe next year or the year to come. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mark Larson, director at CASC, David Cheeseborough, president AFEI. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Mark Larson, director at a company called CASK, C-A-S-K. More information, CASKLC.com. And of course, Dave Cheeseborough, president, AFEI, well known to my listeners. We're talking about report cards and grades and FITARA. Maybe trying to put in perspective and put some, maybe, I don't know, some ideas of how it compares to other ways to evaluate things. And we stopped the conversation talking about the last break. We talked about portfolios and portfolio stat. But I want to ask about blogs. I have students and listeners that read blogs, get information from blogs. Tell me, Mark, is there a blog that you read, maybe a blog that you can recommend for my listeners to read to keep up with this technology?
Yeah, well, I always recommend CASK's blog. A lot of best practices on how to manage technology better, best practices in the industry, and what else is going on.
I was there this morning, and they also do commercial work. And I thought that was very interesting that a lot of the problems my govies have, it's a parallel in the commercial world too. I mean, they have a problem with large portfolios and managing things and big companies and all kinds of issues. And you know, I have a friend who works in agriculture, and guess what? There's huge, big problems in agriculture and all kinds of problems with Internet of Things and data and managing them and portfolios and change and very, very similar to what's going on in the federal government. Dave, is there any kind of blog that you can make reference to?
Well, there's
for my
a lot of
or?
Good blogs out there, John. I would echo the recommendation for CASK's blog. It's relevant. It's up to date. It's got a lot of great information on it. I would also recommend if people want to stay up to date on what's happening in this town, Federal News Radio website has a lot of good reporting on
winner, so. Winner, chicken dinner. Yeah. Buy that, buy a coffee. Yeah, they do have good things. And I mentioned Jason earlier. He's a pretty good writer. He does copy and write about really good copy and all kinds of good information on FITARA. And I think his last little article or blog entry on it was very, very insightful. When we talk about the United States government and portfolio management and big companies, also this is we're not the only game in town, huh, Dave? There's other countries that have ideas in managing portfolios. In the break, we talked about folks over in England. Tell us about that.
Right. So we got into a little conversation about PRINCE2, which is the program management approach that came out of the UK, and we've formed a relationship with the DSDM consortium in the UK, the Dynamic Systems Development Methodology. These folks over there are actually one of the signers of the Agile Manifesto. They kind of, their methodology predates that. And we are interested in them not because of their Agile methodology, but because they have this Agile PM approach where you can bridge between governance and waterfall processes, project management, and the actual conduct of Agile activities on a project. And we're very interested in that. We worked with a company called APMG International. They do DSDM certification. And we wrote a paper comparing PMBOK and their approach to Agile in PMI to this Agile PM. And the Agile PM approach came out very favorable. It's a very comprehensive approach and very much like what PMI advocates.
You know, most people in this town may not be interested in that topic, but my listeners love that. They want to know that. Where can they find that report?
That report is on the APMG International website. It's also going to be up on AFEI.org soon.
Well, it's good because that's kind of information my listeners want, and they always want Twitter handles. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and I think what's AFEI's Twitter handle?
At AFEI. My personal one is at D Cheesebro. Yeah.
And CASK is at CASKLLC, and get all kinds of information from Twitter that way. And big changes in Twitter in the last week. Big changes every time I turn around. There's big changes, the likes and not likes, and LinkedIn's changing. And we have changes with managing risk too. And so one of the four categories on FITARA is project risk assessment and timelines. Valuable, not valuable, Mark?
I think it's valuable. You can't manage what you can't measure, and risk is one of the hardest things to measure. People did better in risk than they did in other areas across the report cards. And so I think that's a huge first step to realizing where people need to go.
Yeah, if you look at, you know, generalities, generally speaking, the data center consolidation is kind of weak. But in general, the project risk assessment, we're probably maybe a little bit stronger. And it's hard to, you know, what is it like 24 agencies reported and just 4 of 7 categories. But those are the trends I see in this report.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, the neat thing about risk is it shows that people care. and they do know what's going on and maybe where things aren't working. And so it really gives you a baseline from which to build a roadmap for improvement.
So, Dave, we have buy-in from the CIO of the federal government, the big dog there, and we have new tools to be able to engage with these FATAR reports. So what's going to happen? Another one, 6 months, 12 months? What happens down the road for FATAR?
Well, I think what you're going to see is the settling into a regular rhythm of assessments and reporting to measure the progress that agencies are making along the pathway that's laid out for them in FATARA. So one of the problems with Clear and Cohen is that shortly after that bill was passed, both Clear and Cohen retired. And so there was nobody
no
in
champion.
Congress to champion it. Jerry Connolly says in Fairfax, which is heavily Democratic, that he's not going anyplace. And he'll be around to help with that. We'll see what Congressman Issa says when he comes on December 9th. But I think they're both committed to seeing that FATARA proceeds and is successful where Clear Cohen failed.
And, you know, let's go to the other side of the room. Is Darrell Issa is behind this, too. So we have a Democrat and a Republican. The relay are saying, hey, look, let's throw this party stuff aside. We got to efficiently spend the money we're pumping in the federal government.
Right. So $80 billion a year. I read an analysis of that short time ago that said only 12% of that or 18% of that goes to development of new capabilities and new software. The rest is in the maintenance of the old stuff. So back to portfolio management. If you can manage the portfolio, if you can do some risk management, and you can begin to bring down the spend on the legacy stuff and upgrade your capabilities. So, you know, what we're always preaching, you know, do more with less and do it faster.
Now, Mark, in that very seat you're sitting in, Vivek Kundra sat many years ago and talked about his 25-point plan, but in general, it was moving to the cloud. We can say that. So cloud first, we see transparency, we see shared first, continuous monitoring. These are noble goals, and are these part of FATARA? Is FATARA going to enable my agencies, the listeners, to go to the cloud?
I think FATARA is, but not maybe in the way you'd expect. When people start to do deep root cause analysis, they're going to realize the only way to fix a lot of the problems is to adopt modern approaches. And so what we think is going to happen is that as people really work hard to make better grades and rethink how they manage their technology investments, they're really going to figure out how to implement these cloud-first, share-first, platform-first approaches. Because it's the only way to get to the end as fast as they need to.
One aspect of this thing fascinating is the whole idea of market intelligence and knowing what's out there. You know, back in the day, you'd have three TV stations to watch. Now there's 500. And back in the day, there might have been three or four databases to choose from. Now there's many different ways to skin the cat. And I think maybe FATARA is going to force my listeners to at least open their mind to new ways. I mean, if you look what's happening with Microsoft, they just signed an alliance with Red Hat. I mean, this is like the Hatfields and McCoys, you know, they're feuding. Now they're sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner. So the FATARA is almost going to force our listeners to look at new technologies and new approaches, won't they?
Well, it is. It's going to, as you say, open up the mindset a little bit. But, you know, it really is was going to happen anyway. Millennials are coming along. The leading edge of millennials turns 40 in 2015. And you're going to see these folks like Mark rise to very important positions in their corporations or their agencies. And they're going to expect things to work differently. They're going to expect to have access to cloud. They're going to expect to have mobile devices in their workplace that connect them to the data and the work that they need to do. So this is going to evolve and happen whether we had FATARA or not. FATARA puts a organizational element to it that I think is extremely important.
And what they're trying to do is, of course, take private sector best practices and maybe force them on the federal government, encourage them to be the federal government, put CASC in a good position because you have feet in both areas. You do private as well as
The best stuff's already been done. And so it's really about applying lessons learned and best practices in new and different ways. The federal government has a unique set of challenges. It's not identical to the commercial world. But there are a ton of best practices that the federal government can learn from the commercial world and vice versa. And so it really is going to be about going down this path together as we move into the future.
Let's take a break, come back. We've been talking about report cards and govies for the last few segments. We're going to make a transition, talk about personal technology and maybe the future of the federal government, this whole idea of reporting and reducing federal data centers. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mark Larson, director at CASC, Dave Cheeseborough, president, AFBI. Back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Mark Larson, the director at CASC, C-A-S-K, and Dave Cheeseborough, president at AFEI. And we've been talking about report cards and FITARA and odds and ends and this is and that's. And I'm a big fan of events and meeting people face-to-face. And if you are listening to this show and it's November and you want to go face-to-face and grab someone, ask them a question, you can probably go to, which event is this again, Dave?
So the third FITARA Implementation Symposium that CASC is sponsored with us and that we're hosting is on December 9th at the Army-Navy Club in Arlington. Great facility and a wonderful program. We have Congressman Issa coming to give opening remarks. I'm sure he'll talk a little bit about the importance of this to him and report cards.
Yeah. Right?
We've invited Tony Scott to come back. He came and gave the keynote at our first event, and we've invited him to reprise that and give us an update. And I'm sure he'll have some comments about report cards as well. And we have a panel discussion from the Coast Guard on involving their CFO, CIO, comptroller organizations on what they're doing, driven a lot by their failure to pass an audit in DHS, but aligned very much with FITARA. And then we'll have some interesting panel discussions after that.
I'm just thinking about, you know, people my age go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, your cholesterol is a little high. And then they change. It's not like you're a terrible human being. It's just, well, they change the way they eat or they exercise. And I think that's, I'm trying to have a positive spin on this report card is that, well, you know, it's not really, you know, you're going to chop off your arm if you have a bad grade. But here's generally what you might want to improve in the next 6 or 8 months. And that's my question, too, is this going to be followed up in with an annual type thing? Or what's the future of FITARA here?
The future of FITARA is, you know, regular, almost constant reporting, right? We're trying to have better transparency in what we do. You know, those annual or more often periodic reports of what's going on is the new norm. And the idea that the world is watching where your IT tax dollars are being spent is going to be commonplace.
One of the reports I have is a report on my guests, and this is a segment where I ask my guests 10 questions to find out about their personal technology choices, because the most important thing, of course, is what kind of phone Mark has. So we're going to ask him 10 of those questions, and I'm going to start off right now to find out if you are, in fact, a card-carrying nerd. Question number one, do you have an Instagram account?
No.
Well, if you do have one, you should follow, there's a guy in Spain to follow. We're not going to talk about who to follow on this one. Number two, how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Weak. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Oh, that's good. And have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
Yes, I've used both.
Oh, there. He gets a little star in his forehead. Then that's a good report card here for you. Well, they so far.
Me to shame.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I'm an iOS user.
Okay. What's the most popular app on that guy?
Well, for me, the new one is the new Apple News Aggregator app.
An interesting one. We break into your house. How many tablet devices do you see floating around there?
4 or 5.
Getting points here.
We got a nerd here.
When was your most recent post in social networking?
Probably last week.
Okay. And when is your Apple Watch due?
Oh, I already have one and I already gave it to my 16-year-old.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, you get to you double nerd points with this, and you gave it away.
Gave or stolen, right? It's kind of the same thing.
But she probably can beat you in a fight, so. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
I would say you're probably a B-minus nerd, something like that. Maybe a nerd wannabe, not really a true one. A really true one, you get like a new phone every 6 weeks. I mean, you really have to have the best and the new and that and everything else. But you'd have the Apple Watch. So that gives you lots of points here. I have to review this when I put this through my personal computer in my basement and print out a report in my green bar, if you remember that used to be. So, you know, Dave, we've had an year many times, and we're trying to see what's going to happen here in the next few years. So is this Fatara a good idea, bad idea? They're just going to throw it away, or 20 years from now we're going to come up with a new report? Or is this actually a tool you think that'll help?
Well, I think Fatara was an excellent idea. I don't think it gets thrown away. I think that Congress is very interested in getting the federal IT spend under control, knowing what the money is going for, and improving services to the constituents. So I don't see Fatara going away, and I see it as a useful and very important exercise to change the acquisition culture inside of the federal government.
So, Mark, let's switch roles here. Let's say you are working for an agency trying to hire someone. Are you going to evaluate them based on their report cards from last week? That's a tough one, huh?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think you're gonna hire them based on what their plan is for the future. Fatara is about moving from an oversight culture, which is Klinger Cohen, to an insight culture, and really being able to sort of put your money where your mouth is in terms of cost, schedule, performance, and risk. And so being able to talk to leaders about how they're going to address those four issues and how they're going to do that publicly is going to make your hire decision
better. I work with physics majors and engineers all day long and software developers. I've got a lot of respect for rocket scientists. NASA, you know, Dave, didn't hit home runs here this one, did they? They didn't do too well.
Well, no, they didn't. And you have to wonder a little bit why. You know, they have a new CIO over there, and they're probably wrestling with organizational issues. It's not that they don't have the acumen to do this. It's just they haven't really gotten started on it. But, you know, one of the things I'd like to point out, we talked about iOS and cell phones, iPhones. Been doing a little research lately, and I think your readers or your listeners, more appropriately, might be interested in knowing that the iPhone 6, if they pick it up and hold it in their hand, they have more computing power in the palm of their hand than all of NASA had back when we put two men on the surface of the moon. Not just in the spacecraft, all of NASA, the organization. That device is more powerful in some ways than the first two supercomputers, Cray 1 and Cray 2. So why is that important? Because it really tells us or gives us a hint as to the direction things are going. The Internet of Things is becoming a reality. Computing is getting cheap. Networking is getting ubiquitous. And it's changing the landscape. And so Fatara is the government's attempt to cope with that.
I had a guest on here 2 weeks ago. I asked him how many IoT devices he had in his house. He had 75. So to multiply that by 20 million or 30 million, you get all kinds of raw data. And what we see is the government's getting raw data, too, and trying to have decision points for these type. Do you think in the future that I almost think that, you know, there's so much data coming in the federal government, they're going to need graphical reports like this Fatara just to understand what's going on, just to understand where they're at. Is this the future? All these incredible.
Yeah. You know, management data overload is a reality today, and it's not going to get any easier in the future. And so figuring out what data matters and being able to digest it in a you know, meaningful way and in a timely way is going to be extremely important.
Many of the people who are involved with Fatara, Dave, say that this isn't a scarlet letter. You don't have to worry about this. But I think in today's society, a low grade on this, I think it's going to impact someone's career in the federal government. What do you think?
I think there's probably a reasonable fear of that, but I don't think that's the intention. I think the intention is to give agencies an understanding of how they're measuring up currently to the direction and the goal that Fatara sets out for them and give them a pathway to move down that goal. It's not that you've taken Calculus 1 and failed it and you're an idiot. It's just we're starting down a pathway. NASA hasn't really gotten going yet. When they do, I'm sure they'll get to the point where they're mostly green. But it's an evolutionary process and not one to be snapshotted and people's careers to be affected by those snapshots.
There are reports, Mark, that some numbers are being reported to GAO and some are reported to OMB. Have you read about those, about different numbers rather than one set of these FITARA scorecard numbers?
Yeah, I don't think it's completely clear yet exactly what needs to be done. You know, this is the first report card, right? And so what's going to matter is how much better you do on the next one. And, you know, is all your data in the right place to the right people? And can you be benchmarked against your peers and whatever the baseline is in the government? So I think we're still figuring this out a little bit, but I think you'll see that FY16 will be a big year for the evolution of how we implement and manage FITARA.
Well, I think that's a fair statement. We'll see what happens in 6 or 8 months and pivot, move, and change and see if we achieve the objective of cloud first, you know, and shared first and reduce cost of the federal IT budget. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests, Mark Larson, Director at CASC, Dave Cheeseborough, President, AFEI. Gentlemen, thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromec, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.